Assalamu alaikum. My name is Fatma Sabar, and I'm the host of your Muslim Girl podcast. This is your safe space to come and get advice in a place where we can all learn and grow together. So today's episode is actually something that I've kind of been looking forward to, and I kind of sprung on this guest last moment. So I brought on my friend Zara because, mashallah, she just has like this wisdom. I can't describe it, but she has this wisdom that I wanted to share with you guys. So alhamdulillah, she's here with me to share some of her Ramadan reflections as well.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, so alhamdulillah, it's so exciting for me too, because I love having people on. So alhamdulillah, it's your first time.
I'm so happy to be here. Jazakallah khair for inviting me. I love your podcast.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. It's like, you better, right? Like, you know me personally. So alhamdulillah, so without much further ado, let's actually get right into our weekly segment. So Zara, what's something that you learned this week?
So this week, I learned the value of time and how little of it we actually have in reality. I think this is very well encompassed in Surah Asr, and how time is always leaving us, and we have to use it as much as we can. And it's very difficult in the modern day, especially it seems like time just seems to be shrinking these days. And when we give our attention to things like scrolling mindlessly, or, you know, things, tasks that are rather meaningless, we lose time and it's gone before we know it. We age before we know it. Like, you're suddenly a certain age. And where did all the time go? When did you grow up, you know? So it's important that we're constantly utilizing the time we have, inshallah.
Yeah, 100%, subhanAllah. You don't realize how much time you didn't have until it's gone, you know? Or you don't realize how much time you did have until it's gone. And, you know, once it's gone, you're never going to get it back. Time isn't a currency, right?
Exactly.
So, subhanAllah, yeah. I agree. Like, this Ramadan has gone by so fast. Which
I know, it just disappeared. Like, what happened? I swear it was last week.
Like, honestly, it happens every single Ramadan, but this one feels different, where it's like you get in and now inshallah Eid's right around the corner.
Yeah,
you know, like, it reminds me again, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be alive for either. Like, genuinely, like, there is no understanding of when our last breath is going to be. You know, I think Sheikh Fayaz Tilly has a saying that if you're decreed to die soon, you're old already.
Yeah.
You know, like, our ideas of old and young, like, it really has to be put into perspective, right? Because we don't technically know when we're old in terms of death, in terms of death being right around the corner.
There's no specific age for you to get hit by a bus, right? So it's always important to never think, oh, I have time, I'm young, I'll be religious when I'm older. I think that's a big mistake a lot of people, especially younger people, fall into. Like, if you're under the age of 30, 35-ish, if you're under that age, you might fall into the trap of, oh, I'll just be religious when I'm older. When really it's easier for you to wake up for Fajr when you're younger than it is when you're older, when you have more health problems, more commitments to go to. It's much easier to do it when you're younger.
Yeah, subhanAllah, being young is a huge, huge gift that, you know, we have to take advantage of. And honestly, as for what I learned this week, I feel like there's different lessons that keep coming to you, right, over the course of Ramadan, so it's kind of hard for you to pick one. But I think it's that, you know, subhanAllah, when you're in the heat of a situation, when you're upset, you're not able to see the good in it, per se, right? And so you're stressed out, or you're angry, or you're upset. And then you don't realize how necessary some things were in order to accomplish X task, you know? Yeah. And then in addition to that, how fleeting your feelings are. Because that situation happened, and you were feeling angry, or you were feeling upset, or you were feeling sad. But those feelings didn't last. They lasted for that situation and they were done. That situation ended too. But the lessons you can pull from that situation, those are things that are able to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those things could be something that help you in the eternal life, inshallah.
Inshallah. It's like the morals you learn from the stories that happen in your life. Each stage of life have their own anxieties. Like, perhaps when you're maybe let's say you're in high school, maybe, and you're trying to get into university. You're constantly going to be stressed about that. But then let's say you're older and now, oh, how am I gonna pay these debts? How am I gonna, find a spouse to marry? And then let's say you're married and you're saying, oh, how am I gonna take care of children? Where am I gonna find the sustenance to take care of children? Each stage of life will have their own worries, and you need to learn to put your trust in Allah and trust that He has your back, so long as you put in the work as well. And what did you learn from that struggle? Did you see that it was not as bad as you thought it was,
Yeah, subhanAllah. See, I think we always have to be able to pan out and understand, okay, this thing is not as bad as you think it is, right? Like it's going to pass. Time is going to pass. This is not a situation that's going to be around forever. So pull what good you can from it, discard the bad, learn from what was difficult, and then move on.
Verily, with hardship comes ease, right? What was the ayah for it? Can you remind me?
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, that one. SubhanAllah. I always think about it whenever I'm having a hard time, and it makes me feel much more at ease with my faith and my circumstances.
SubhanAllah. You know, and in lieu of that, moving on into the quote of the week, which is actually an ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, or a couple of ayat, which is, when my servants ask of me, I am near. I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. And these ayat, like obviously every single ayah of the Quran has its own beauty, but this one is such a comfort, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always close, and if you ask with sincerity, He's gonna answer you, no matter what. Obviously, don't ask for anything haram, but there is a response. It might not be the response you want, but there is going to be a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a promise, but you have to make the effort to reach out first.
SubhanAllah. I think that really segues into kind of the first reflection I had was for Qadr. And if you knew the path that you wanted to take and where that would take you versus the path Allah had decreed for you, you would always, 100% of the time, have chosen the path Allah had decreed for you as a believer. And I think that's a really comforting thought. And the Umar Suleiman series this year, this Ramadan, mashallah, has been a wonderful thing I've kept keeping up with. I was very consistent in watching them just because of the amount of wisdom I was able to attain from them. Like the idea of Qadr and being able to trust in Allah and all your circumstances. Honestly, to me, it was just brought me so much comfort. Made it like felt like It just allowed me to be able to let go of control of my circumstances far easily, which is something you do when you let go of your need to control your situation. It's very it, it There's a lot of freedom in it, and it's you're able to accept your circumstances and not be fed up with the world and not, punch the air and say, why me? Why am I so unlucky? You say Allah has decreed this for me, so I am satisfied because I love Allah. And anything He gives me was only for my favor. It was never against me, The only time that something that would go against you if something takes you away from Allah, which is why you always ask for protection against things like that.
SubhanAllah. It's
What about
crazy.
you?
People just adding on to your reflection, people always say that diamonds are created under pressure, right? You can only get better through a situation that's difficult. Like obviously you're able to get better in other situations, but typically you learn the most in a situation that's difficult for you. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you're not going to reach a certain standard of excellence or of goodness if you don't undergo certain trials. Because with your good deeds alone, you're not going to get to X level. But if you go through hardships, if you go through difficulties and you go through trials, then you're able to get to that level.
SubhanAllah.
Like it's beautiful how, Allah knows better for me, Allah knows better for you than we would want or know for ourselves,
Exactly.
Like Allah wants better for me than I could ever want for myself. And there's something so comforting in knowing that like, hey, the creator, the king above all kings, has my best interests at heart. So why wouldn't I trust him?
Why wouldn't you?
Like there's no point in not trusting him.
I think, like, the trust in Allah, this blind faith in Allah, was best encompassed by Musa alayhi salam's story. Like, when he was running from the army of Fir'aun in front of the sea, the Bani Israel couldn't see a way out. But in that moment, he still trusted Allah. And you know what happened? Like, put yourself in his shoes. Was it realistic for anyone in that moment to expect the literal sea would split into two walls for him to just run through? Was that a realistic thing to assume would happen? No, it wasn't. But that's sort of that you would get that kind level of benefit from simply believing in Allah and trusting in Him, putting your faith in Him, and knowing that He has your back so long as you put in the work. They still ran away, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't stick around and hope, you know?
Mm-hmm. You still have to be active about changing your circumstances, right? I think a lot of people mm-hmm. make the mistake of like, okay, like that's it. Like I'm going to put my trust in Allah. Obviously, 100% always. But you also have to put in the work.
Yeah.
So subhanAllah, you know, like just having that level of trust, like may Allah make us people that always, always trust in Him and have certainty in Him. But that's so integral to our faith. And genuinely, I don't know how non-Muslims function without knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our back, you know, because there is no safety net.
It's very, like, I feel like you would be in a constant state of anxiety and fear of not knowing, or just this uncertainty would constantly consume you
mm-hmm.
on the inside.
Yeah, subhanAllah, and that leads into my reflection that I wanted to share. Is like the amount of stuff we don't know, right? Like genuinely, there's so much knowledge that we don't have. There are so many things we can't even fathom that exist. But ultimately, even though we live within that circle of ambiguity and we don't know, that stuff is unknown to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always, always, always finding a way out for us. He has a plan for us, right? And what we have to do is have the trust in Him. And then within that circle of the unknown, also knowing how small and insignificant we are. Because we don't know how much we don't know. And there are things that we might hear about or we might think we know, but we don't actually, you know. So subhanAllah, like, we're so insignificant. We have literally no power. And it all comes back to trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. It's how when you learn more, that's when you actually begin to realize how much you don't actually know. Mm-hmm. Someone told me this once. Think of your knowledge like an island, and that when you gain more knowledge, you put more sand around the perimeter, and that. The circumference of the body of water that encloses your island shows how much you don't know. You can only see how big that ocean is the more sand you put. So the more and more you know, learn, the more and more you realize you don't know. I forget which story this is part of, but I think it was in the Islamic tradition. Like, you know, the one where the bird, he dips his beak in the ocean for a mm-hmm. sip of water. And the human knowledge that could be encompassed is the amount of water that dripped from the bird's beak, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Allah's knowledge was the entire sea that bird drank from. So subhanAllah, we think we know a lot, but we really don't.
SubhanAllah, it puts things into perspective, right? Where people are arrogant and say, oh, I know X, Y, Z, I know this much, I know that much. How much do you not know?
Especially this day and age, it feels like mm-hmm. everyone has an opinion to share, and a lot of people seem to share it in sort of with arrogant undertone, not really with haya or accepting that they can have some mistakes in what they're saying as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we must protect ourselves from falling into those traps as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm no scholar, so any reflection I'm giving to you right now was just based on what I was able to conclude with my own imperfect intellect as well.
As always, right? I'm not a scholar either. It's all from personal reflection, and again, it's all imperfect because perfection belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then, segueing into another reflection that I had on being imperfect, subhanAllah, like we're so imperfect. There are so many flaws that we have, and I think Ramadan really wakes you up to that. These are XYZ things you have to work on. These are the flaws that you have. These are the character flaws that you have. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming where, there's this thing I need to work on. There's this thing I need to work on. But I think that knowing that you're able to work on that, and then knowing that that process of trying to eliminate those flaws from yourself is a way for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think that can take the fear out of that quote unquote self-improvement process.
I think doing anything for the sake of Allah takes out like any burdens you may feel. Like, let's say you want to become more fit. When you do it for something like, you want to look more aesthetic, rather instead of think of it more, if you start thinking about it in the sense that I want to make my body strong so I can serve Allah with more ease, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah, suddenly the scale doesn't matter, your measurements don't matter, you're just trying to be stronger so that you can serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that it even gives it makes you it's even more rewarding than chasing the aesthetics as well.
Because you're not setting a man-made ideal, right? You have a higher purpose than that. And again, that's what comes from detaching yourself from the world. So, Zara, what's your next reflection?
My next reflection actually is related to sort of what we learned this week, how we're talking about time is ever fleeting, is sort of how, as young people, perhaps we don't fully understand the idea of chasing the akhirah over the dunya. Like, we've all heard the term deen over dunya, right? But what does it really mean? So this is kind of my take on it. I'm no scholar, so my imperfect intellect concluded this. Is what I think is when you are prioritizing your deen and collecting as many good deeds as you can, and you're doing it because you're chasing the eternal akhirah rather than the dunya. And you would find that these days everyone wants to be rich, everyone wants to be, that guy, that girl. It's not really a bad thing, but it's kind of the what you're trying to get out of it doesn't seem to be something that's otherworldly. Like, there have been generations before you that have strived to become the wealthiest person, the most liked person, the most desired person, the highest status person. And that's kind of what we're seeing repeated in history, just in a different font, in a different format, because this has been a part of human nature since the dawn of time. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying that I feel like we should strive and ask Allah to take the love of this dunya out of our heart. Like, often today you'll hear things like, oh, you should only be focusing yourself, you don't need anybody, or stop being broke and poor, it diminishes your value as a person, or you can't live your best life without a lot of money. And this, I suppose, is more in the West or in capitalist societies that is fueled by individualism. But in no way am I saying that you should not strive for money or status. Like, please do do that. But ask yourself, like, why am I doing all of this? Why am I advancing my education? Why am I making a lot of money for? What are you doing it for? Emphasis on for. I want to say to Allah, to my Lord, that I did it for your sake, not for the attention of others, not for my own self-indulgence, not to make myself feel more big and important by increasing my worldly status. I chose to gain these things, these sustenances, so that I can spend in your way. Because at the end of the day, we're going to be in our graves. We're going to be in our graves with just a white cloth and our deeds. When think of the garment of the grave, just a white cloth. your designer clothing, the shoes you wore, the fashion you had suddenly becomes very insignificant in your grave. Where did it all go? And I think as a young person, you get blinded by the flashiness of this world. You've heard of the hadith of the seven shaded, right? And one of them was the person who spent their youth in piety. So why do you think it's like the youth and not an old person? Obviously, being pious when you're old is very valuable, but why specifically the youth do you think it is?
SubhanAllah, it's because obviously this is again from my personal reflection, but because when you're young, everything feels new and exciting. Whereas when you're older, I believe Sheikh Muhammad Suleiman said this in his Why Me series as well, that when you're older, you typically have less of a connection to this dunya. You have maybe more time to focus on your akhirah as you get older. But when you're younger, I think you typically lack the perspective to plan ahead. Like everything is flashy, it's in your face. And so then for you to move past that is very, very difficult.
I've heard some say this hadith extends, the young person extends to under 50 years old and under 35. Allahu alam. I'm not 100% certain, but the merit still stays the same, that when you're young, these things seem super appealing, and the world, like, YOLO, you're only young once. Suddenly you feel like, oh, I need to get in on this before I'm old and undesirable, or when I'm weak. But in reality, if you choose to spend your strength, spend your free time in the way of Allah, Allah has decided to reward us more than this world could ever offer. And I think that's the merit, that we want to ask Allah to take the love of this dunya out of our heart and replace it with love of Him instead. Any bad or good that happens to us, we love Allah either way. When Yasmin Mujahid gave an excellent metaphor, let's say you have a car, you're the car, and in order for a car to run, you need to put gasoline in it. And this gasoline for our spiritual hearts is our connection to Allah, our need to please Him. Our fitrah is to chase after the pleasure of Allah. However, when we become too consumed in all that is temporary, like money, status, attention, that's like pouring orange juice into the car. The car wasn't made to function that way. You even see this with people who have a lot of money. They feel empty inside. Like you often hear about suicides of people who had everything in this world, because it's not what humans were meant to do. Humans were meant to be in worship, in submission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the young person who spent, like, you find, like, wait, I'm sure many of you listening will find that when you, the best moments in your life was when you were just crying to Allah in your room, nobody else around, and nothing around other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suddenly, everything in this world becomes irrelevant. And I think that's what we need to strive for, having that continuous relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's like my biggest lesson I've learned this Ramadan. And I'm super grateful I was able to understand that as
Yeah,
well. And I'm
subhanAllah.
hoping everyone will learn that, inshallah.
Inshallah, subhanAllah. Again, it all comes down to perspective, right? Like, okay, again, intention, like, why are you doing what you're doing? And then I find that when you get distracted in other things, when you get caught up with other things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you exactly why you need Him. Because you start to feel empty, you start to be more aggressive, or you start to feel more angry because you've lost or you're moving away from the most precious gift you could ever have. That is Islam and having a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you prioritize that, that's when things start to fall into place. Like, yeah, you could be going through some of the most difficult trials, but if you understand that this world is a test, if you understand that okay, this like these trials that are coming to me in the forms of social media or things like that, that these things, if I refrain from them as a young person specifically, there's a huge reward for that. Like having that perspective and continually, again, reflecting on death too, right? That's so important for us as Muslims.
Exactly. What other reflection did you have, Fatima?
It was actually quite similar to what you were saying. And it's the difference between the Western mindset and the Islamic mindset. I was reading this book and it talks about, accept that you're perfect, accept this, accept that. And it was definitely kind of frustrating for me to read that, because we know that perfection is saved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, right? And that all of this stuff in this dunya, it's all ultimately going to fade, right? And just, seeing the way that people view things, I don't know, it can be incredibly frustrating, obviously, coming from our perspective and then seeing how limiting or how incredibly harmful the Western mindset and worldview can be, where everybody's focused on, okay, I need to be number one. I have to look out for number one. Really at the expense of other people and how individualistic the Western world is. SubhanAllah, I think that really was driven home to me during Ramadan, and then understanding again, we're so dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no power except the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, right? And that in and of itself is so small in comparison to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And if He chooses to take it away from us, it's gone. Right? No one else is gonna give us that power. That's for Allah to give and for Allah to take. Right? Like, really, what power do we have? None. Absolutely none in the grand scheme of things.
Subhanallah. I feel like we don't really appreciate what Allah has given to us and what He's not taking away from us in this very moment. Like, you're not the one making your heart beat. The heart asks Allah, "May I beat again?" And Allah gives it permission every single time. Think about, I think you beat about 70 times per minute. Like 70 times per minute, your heart is asking Allah to do another beat, and you're not even thinking about it. Subhanallah. And there's so many small gifts that we have that we constantly take for granted, but somebody else would know. I have a friend actually who has flat feet, so there's no arch on her feet, and she's unable to run for long periods or unable to walk for a long amount of time because her feet will start aching. The majority of us will have an arch under our feet and not need to wear barefoot shoes so we can feel the ground. But how much do you really think about the arch under your feet doing this much for you, able to take you long distances without you getting sore? And only people who don't have that are able to see the merit of it. So gratitude, again, gratitude is the best attitude. But even gratitude for something as small as that makes you feel much more blessed and much more happy with everything you have, rather than this mindset of constantly hustling and chasing the next big high or chasing the next big thing and making a big name for yourself.
SubhanAllah, yeah. And that leads into a reflection that I had. And seeing the beauty of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned things. Like, He planned for us to have a specific blessing. He planned for us to have XYZ people in our lives. And all of these things are a means through which we can gain closeness to Him. And we have to recognize that and understand that. And then not only recognize and understand that, but inshallah be able to apply that, and allow those things to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you can recognize something all you want, but if you don't act on it, I think you're missing out on half the benefit, right? Or the
Exactly.
majority of the benefit.
Entire camel.
Exactly. You're supposed to be active. You're supposed to take action. You can't be passive, especially in matters of deen. Yeah. Do you have any other reflections you'd like to share?
Maybe just one-off casual reflection, but I think it's still very important, is having the blessing of good friends. or having relationships for the sake of Allah, or loving someone, giving love to someone for the sake of Allah. Because I didn't really make friends for the sake of Allah before. And oftentimes I'd find myself in groups that I shouldn't be with. I had bad influences. I struggled mentally, but I thought I really just want these people to like me. They're popular. They have this, they have that. But then when I decided to set that aside and decided that I want friends for the sake of Allah, I want to love somebody because I want them to bring me closer to Allah. That's when a lot of things changed. I didn't have many friends. However, the friends I did have, the quality just shot up 200%. And I feel like Allah had allowed me to go through that long period in my life of not having friendships that were not based on superficial things, to really appreciate a friendship where we're loving each other for the sake of Allah, we're reminding each other of our deen, and we're doing our best to keep each other out of trouble and not actually guiding us away and guiding us towards creating trouble for ourselves. And again, the believer is on the deen of his friends, so be careful who your friends are. A lot of people will start cursing each other when people are thrown into the hellfire. They'll start cursing, "You brought me here. You're dragging me down with you. Oh, if only I had not been friends with so and so." And I think that's the importance of really be careful of who your friends are. Are your friends the type of people who waste time, don't talk about important things or things that make your life better or that will better your akhirah? And when you do get those friends, make sure you constantly thank Allah for them so that you appreciate them more and that you can give more to them, and that so that you may also be of benefit to them as well.
Yes, subhanAllah, 100%. Like when you have friends that, especially friends that are non-Muslim, their focus typically isn't the same, right? And you feel that emptiness. You feel that there's this bridge that you can't cross because something's different, right? They lack that perspective. They lack that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person on the Day of Judgment is going to be with who they love. So make sure that the people that you love are people that are going to, inshallah, take you to Jannah. And if you feel like right now you're not in an environment that's conducive to that, change your environment, right? Because you're only as good as the environment you're in, typically speaking. So, like, constantly, always, always, always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you righteous companions, to be loved by those He loves, and to love those He loves. Because these are crucial aspects of our lives that can either make or break our akhirah. May Allah allow us to be amongst those whom He loves, and to be loved by those He loves, and to love those He loves.
I mean, I definitely love how you put it, because that emptiness, it's good. It's okay to have non-Muslim friends. You can always do that one. However, the risk is you can't put you they can't you they can't be as close to you as your Muslim friends, because you're being friends for a higher purpose, and you can feel more fulfilled with your pious friends than you feel as fulfilled with your non-Muslim friends, because there's a discrepancy between what the two of you value. And for the sake of Allah, you're actually better off with no friends if you don't have any good friends available. And I think today you can actually scout out for good friends, inshallah, like with resources like the internet. If you're in a place where there's hardly any Muslims, you can look to the internet. You can find online communities. You can reach out. You can email people. There's plenty of avenues for you, inshallah. But always make dua for Allah to guide you to the right people, because there's even Muslim friends who will take you the wrong way as well.
I'm really glad you pointed that out, because not all Muslim friends are going to be good Muslim friends, right? Which is unfortunate, but that is the case. And so you have to have that level of discernment and understand, okay, is this person going to take me to Jannah, or are they dragging me in a direction I really don't want to go? And when it comes to friends on the internet. Like, you know, SubhanAllah, I'm glad you mentioned that because there is definitely an avenue for you that way. Again, you have to do your due diligence, be careful, but
Be
it definitely,
careful, be careful,
exactly.
especially on the
As with
internet.
anything, just be careful.
Yeah, don't blindly trust a hijab and a profile picture, you know? Come on now.
Exactly. But yeah, there are definitely opportunities for you there. Again, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and ask Him to guide you to righteous people because subhanAllah, they're so important. Yeah, so I think that concludes today's episode. Alhamdulillah, I'm so glad you were able to join. Jazakallah khairan for coming on.
Jazakallah khair for having me, Fatima.
Ameen wa iyyakum, inshallah. I know I sprung this on you last minute. Like, I
It's
texted you
fine.
maybe
It's
2 hours
fine.
before. I was like, can you come on? But,
Yeah, why not? You know,
alhamdulillah.
Ramadan, inshallah, may this give you sadaqa jariyah for what you're doing,
Ameen.
inshallah.
And for you as well. Inshallah, people are able to benefit. And as always, like, I'd love for listeners at home to share their reflections with me as well. I'd love to see them. So, Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
Alaikum salam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. So I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. As always, I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or if you'd like to share your reflections with me, definitely feel free to do that. You can reach out to me via Instagram at Your Muslim Girl Podcast, or you can reach out to me through email at yourmuslimgirlpodcast@gmail.com. And if you have any podcast suggestions or anything like that, feel free to let me know there. I also am still taking submissions for the Book for Palestine. So if you know anyone or if you'd like to submit yourself, definitely reach out to me through email. And if you have any personal questions for me, those are the two ways to get in contact with me. If you leave them in the Spotify version of this episode, unfortunately, I'm not able to answer you directly. But if you have any questions that are general or that you'd like me to answer through the podcast, feel free to leave them there. As always, everything that I said mistakenly or that Zara said mistakenly, that was all through our own imperfection. We're not scholars, we're just people that are trying to, inshallah, help you out through our personal reflection. So anything that good that we said was purely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any kind of mistake that we made or anything that we said is through our own error, and please forgive us for that. And on other notes, if you'd like to support me, my Etsy is the way to do that. And bonus, you also get a cute journal or, things like that, planners. You can go there and check that out via Etsy at byfatimashopper.etsy.com. Forgot what the link address was for a second. But as always, I'd love to read your ratings and your reviews if you haven't left one yet. Inshallah, it helps me see that the work that I'm doing is helping you out, and inshallah, helps other people find the podcast as well. So, with that being said, I hope that you have a fantastic Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept Ramadan from us and accept our fasting and allow us to see another Ramadan and allow us for that to be accepted as well. So, inshallah, I will see you next week. إن شاء الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.